Esta tarde, en Educación y Comunidad, tenemos con nosotros a un miembro de la Junta Escolar, el vicepresidente de la Junta Escolar de Miami-Dade, el doctor Loren Furman, quien es una figura destacada en la educación, pues ha ido ocupando numerosos sitiales en ella. Ha sido educador, director de escuela, ejecutivo, administrador de una región, y hoy es miembro de la Junta Escolar a través del voto popular. Dejemos que sea él quien nos hable esta tarde. Bienvenido, doctor Furman, aquí a Educación y Comunidad. Y nos gustaría, pues, empezar sabiendo más de quién es el doctor Loren Furman.
Muchas gracias. Buenas tardes, señor Dimitri Presidente. Let me start by just saying that you have been a tremendous influence while you were on the school board. I think that your sensibilities and your integrity dealing with those children who were not always in the top light brought a great deal of comfort to parents. The fact that you have tremendous schools throughout this county is a testament to your dedication to education. Very much appreciated.
Muchas gracias por permitirme compartir con su radioaudiencia esta tarde. Quiero comenzar felicitándolo por su labor en la educación de los niños. A través de su carrera ha luchado muy duro por ayudar a nuestra comunidad, especialmente en la educación, y dejó un legado de integridad en nuestra junta escolar, y yo lo aprecio mucho.
Thank you, Dr. Fenn.
I want to know something about you. Myself. I've spent 38 years in education, from teacher to administrator, region director. I've been able to work in the last 20 years prior to this job as a director of 50 schools in the North End, the South End, and the West End. I've been able to affect some changes in charge of personnel, construction, pension boundaries, budget. Had an opportunity to go to school, first person in my family to go to college, was able to attain a master's degree, a PhD, enjoyed education being a part of my central core. My wife, 38 years, with two children, two girls. One is a playwright, and the other one is a paralegal for an intellectual property attorney. And I've spent my entire life in public education, and it's been something that has brought me a great deal of joy and peace.
Mi carrera educacional se ha desarrollado a través de más de 38 años. He sido maestro, director de escuela y administrador regional. Trabajé durante 20 años como director de escuelas a lo largo de nuestro condado, en el norte, el sur, y pude implementar cambios en las áreas de administración de personal y otras áreas del manejo de nuestras escuelas. Además, tengo el privilegio de ser la primera persona de mi familia en asistir y graduarme con un título universitario. Obtuve una maestría y después un doctorado en el campo de la educación, que para mí es la esencia de mi vida. En lo personal, llevo 38 años de matrimonio junto a mi esposa, con quien he criado dos bellas hijas. Una es dramaturgo y la otra asistente legal en una firma de abogados especializada en asuntos de propiedad intelectual. He pasado mi vida entera en la educación pública. Es algo que me ha traído mucha paz y satisfacción.
En estos momentos, ¿cuál es la agenda, las prioridades suyas en el sistema escolar? What are your main priorities in the public school system?
Beautiful. When I decided to run, it was because there was no transparency. Things were happening under the table, so to speak. Things were cloudy. People and the parents could not see budgets. When I decided to run, a number of children, specifically the Hispanic, the migrant, the African-American, those students were silent. Those students were invisible. And my concern was to, in fact, bring vision to them. Teachers were liable to be laid off. Teachers were a liability right then at the school system. So one of my priorities was to maintain teacher integrity and to maintain teachers in our school system and to maintain the performing arts. That was in jeopardy also of being let go. And then the day that they swore me in, we found out that our school system's budget was down to $4 million for having a $6 billion budget, that concerned me. That concerned the people who came to me and said, will you run? I'm very proud of the fact that together, Mr. Carvalho, our superintendent, and I were the only two changes to the board for the first 2.5 years. And the board changed. The board became a cohesive group, not just because of me or him, but the whole tenure of the board became interested in children again. As everybody knows, it was no longer the favorite program on TV to watch, a soap opera, but instead it was a professional organization, one that held students as the center of their work. So the priorities were fiscal, financial. The priorities were saving teachers. The priority was making sure that we had our arts and our performing arts for students. The priority was making sure that all the students that have been forgotten for many, many years since you've left us were brought back to the forefront of public education, and that we also gave parents choice. That was very important. They needed to have choices.
Yo aspiré a ser miembro de la Junta Escolar porque en ese momento no había transparencia. Todo se llevaba a cabo detrás de un telón sin que los contribuyentes pudieran opinar o estar al tanto de algo tan básico como el presupuesto, por ejemplo. También me di cuenta que ciertas poblaciones de alumnos, entre ellos los hispanos y afroamericanos, estaban marginadas y eso me preocupaba. Los maestros temían por sus trabajos y para mí era una prioridad asegurar que ellos no fueran a ser cesanteados. Los programas de las bellas artes también estaban en peligro de perderse. El punto más crítico fue el día en el cual tomé el juramento como miembro de la Junta Escolar y descubrí que el fondo de reserva del sistema escolar había decaído hasta llegar a tener un balance de solo $4 millones, en comparación al presupuesto conjunto que excedía $6 mil millones. Eso me alarmó. Me siento orgulloso que los únicos dos cambios que ocurrieron en la Junta Escolar durante esos primeros 2 años fueron mi elección y la selección del señor Carvalho como superintendente escolar. En este periodo la Junta Escolar cambió y se logró forjar un consenso, no solo por la presencia mía o de Carvalho, sino porque todos nos dimos cuenta de que nuestra prioridad tiene que ser nuestros educandos. Las reuniones de la Junta Escolar dejaron de ser la novela más popular de la televisión y volvimos a ser una organización profesional dedicada a los alumnos. Entonces nuestro enfoque vino a ser las finanzas, cómo proteger los trabajos, asegurar que tuviéramos programas de bellas artes para nuestros alumnos, velando por el bienestar de todos esos alumnos que habían sido olvidados por muchos años. Y también había que proveerles opciones educacionales a los padres.
I know that you was very active in the last José Martí parade. You was present there. You established a leadership of participation. What is your feeling about the multicultural programs in the Miami-Dade County Public School?
That's an excellent question. Thank you, sir. Yes, I walked beside you. I walked beside many other people down the streets of Calle Ocho. You know, our diversity is our strength. And if we look at it that way, if we look at what the Hispanic folks have brought with them, if we look at how we've developed an understanding of the cultural changes that we need to make as Americans to incorporate our Latino brothers, our Hispanic brothers, it's very important. And so we use that strength, I think, to become stronger in terms of programs and cross relationships. In the old days, everything was one-sided. Now, because of our diversity, we are the world. This is what the world is going to look like in 10, 15 years. It's going to be Miami. It's going to be Miami with students and adults from Cuba, from Costa Rica, from Nicaragua, from Venezuela, from all over. And it's not going to be Idaho. It's not going to be South Dakota, where it's one flavor only. And that's what makes us stronger. People come here for their cultural. They come here for food. They come here for festival. They come here for the opportunity to see other people and learn from them as well as themselves.
Nuestro punto de fuerza es la diversidad. Anteriormente todo tenía una sola perspectiva. Hoy tenemos una mezcla de perspectivas que nos enriquece. Nosotros somos una representación mundial. Dentro de 10 a 15 años yo pienso que a lo largo del mundo vamos a ver una diversidad como la que hoy tenemos en Miami, donde personas de Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Venezuela, de otras partes, van a compartir en una sociedad común. y por eso nuestra comunidad atrae las personas. Ellos quieren venir a experimentar nuestra riqueza cultural, culinaria y la oportunidad de ver distintas culturas y aprender de ellas.
The other day, I read something about, I think that was in Indiana, that they canceled all the writing programs and they want to eliminate all what is the calligraphy or the school system. I think it will affect the new generation, especially in that state. What is your opinion you are concerned about?
Well, here's the things, my friend. Our students today go home and they are on their computer. They're listening to their iPod. They're talking to their friends on their phone. They're also doing research and they're on their iPad as well as studying. And then we ask them to come to school and sit there for 5.5 hours and do, here's your paper, here's your pencil. Now that's okay for some children who don't have the ability to multitask and use all of technology, but this world is moving very fast and very rapidly into technology. If in fact we need to have our basic skills include how to use technology for students, how to help them become better students, better researchers, at the expense of, let's say, handwriting, it's almost like, do we need a calculator right now? You push the button on the machine. If you push a button on the research and all of a sudden it pops up, do we need an encyclopedia? However, when we in fact do write our letters, which are a personal mark of one's self, it should be nice. It should be neat. It should be able to be understood. It should be legible. It should reflect one's thoughts, inner thoughts, and their culture. But it's just one more type of communication between parents, students, and each other. They text, they Twitter, and they use 40 words, and that's it. So it's very difficult for my generation to understand. I am a technology immigrant. I get excited when the eraser is new on my pencil, and I'm catching up.
And when the computer are down, you find a lot of problems.
Yes, it's like in the when we lost electricity and we didn't have our phones, we didn't have our beepers, we weren't able to go online. Everybody got upset and excited. You know, what do? Well, it's an interesting world.
Hoy nuestros alumnos, cuando regresan a sus casas, se ponen a ver televisión, exploran el internet a través de sus computadoras, oyen música en sus iPods, hablan con sus amistades en los teléfonos móviles, tienen iPad y otros recursos de tecnología avanzada. Pero cuando llegan a la escuela le entregamos un libro, papel y una pluma y esperamos que estén atentos por 5 horas. Nuestro mundo es uno en el cual la tecnología está integrada a nuestras vidas diarias. Nosotros tenemos que adaptar la educación y enfatizar la tecnología. Yo entiendo que tradicionalmente íbamos a la biblioteca para investigar un tema o estudiar, pero hoy en día la tecnología lo ha facilitado y no hay por qué pasar trabajo por gusto. Ahora, yo pienso que la caligrafía es una habilidad básica. Todos tenemos que poder escribir una carta con puño y letra y hacerlo nítidamente. Eso es una reflexión de la integridad de la persona y es algo que la tecnología nunca podrá reemplazar. Yo soy un refugiado del viejo mundo y me encanta cuando el borrador de mi lápiz es nuevo. Yo me asombro porque hoy en día cuando hay un apagón es como si la vida se paraliza, porque no hay teléfonos ni computadoras, no podemos revisar el email. Para mí, que tengo los pies en los dos mundos, es una cosa muy interesante.
You mentioned your main priorities, but in this county I have special characteristics. At this time, how do you feel about the community participation? And you mentioned the parents and the participation. What is your message to the community and to the parents in particular, how they can improve the relationship with the school and the system?
Several pieces. The first one, let me start with this. Parents are not alone. Sometimes they feel alone. And sometimes they get scared because they don't have the same education sometimes as the people in the schools. I remember when I was called by the superintendent that they had locked the gate down in Homestead and did not allow the migrant children, Hispanic children, to actually go back to their homes, to go back to school. They locked him out. Can you imagine? Here it is in the United States, and we are taking chains and putting them around our schools so that children from that don't speak our language, you know, that don't speak solely English, that aren't from quote-unquote America, that are migrant children, are not allowed to go to our schools. I remember standing side by side with SIPGAR's, the people from the migrant families, and the superintendent, and saying, open up. And we did. We got them to take off the locks. Why do I bring it up that way? We need to make sure that all of our children, our Hispanic children in particular, have equal access and opportunity. And if we don't provide it as a school board, then who's going to provide it? For instance, there are students in the middle of our district that have not had opportunities to go to New World. Well, we've worked with University of Miami, and now we have our own conservatory where it's grades 6 through 12 so that all children can go and be able to participate. As far as parents, our schools need to understand there is a new parent out there. The parent is, I'm working three jobs, but I'm interested. Don't think I don't care because I can't come to school, so you need to come to me. I remember when I was a principal, we used to take our teachers, we would go to parents' homes, we would go to the churches, and we would meet with them wherever they are. And that's the way it is pretty much right now. It's an interesting piece that the Parent Academy has looked at the responsibility of all parents and have changed how they look at things. And naturally, I followed. I know that once a month I hold coffee conversations at different schools. I know that after every report card, I like you celebrate our students, and we hold town hall meetings and we give out medals to two students from every school with their parents being there. I know that we also have people who go to the high schools and are waiting during the morning time so that if any parent walks in, they can see somebody from my office. I know that I go to things from Hialeah to Florida City so that I'm available. I know that I also meet at every one of our municipalities one day a month, if I can. If it's a little bit shorter, it could be 2 days a month. But I put it out on my notice on my email, and I say I will be at Pinecrest Municipality, at Coral Reef, Cutler Bay, at Palmetto, at Homestead, Florida City, all those areas. If you need to see me, here I am. And also, I sit myself down at various restaurants. And when people come in, they come in every hour and the hour, and they meet with me so that the local businessmen can also be involved with parents that come in. The essence of your question, Senor, is this. We have to have an open door. And it won't happen from parents coming to us. It has to be from us to the parents. We must be able to open up our door to our children, to the parents, so that they can come into school, they can come into classrooms, they can see what public education, what any educational program would be like, and they have the opportunity to talk, and they're welcomed. They're welcome to be there. And I think under the superintendent, I think under the board, we are doing that. We're opening up our schools more to being comfortable and at least being able to, parents have a feeling that they can call somebody to get help. It's not that I have to just stay home and complain.
Bueno, lo primero es que los padres no pueden sentir que están solos. Hay veces que los padres se sienten intimidados por la escuela, pero no puede ser así. Yo recuerdo una vez que me llamó el superintendente escolar para decir que habían cerrado el programa de educación para los niños de trabajadores migratorios en Homestead. Imagínate que en los Estados Unidos le pongan cadenas a una escuela pública y que no permitan que los niños, simplemente porque no hablan el inglés o son de otra nacionalidad, asistan a la escuela. Yo estuve junto a Cipriano Garza en esa comunidad y juntos pedimos al superintendente escolar que abriera el centro escolar para esos niños y lo logramos. ¿Por qué lo digo de esta manera? Porque nosotros, como parte de esta comunidad, tenemos que velar por la igualdad de oportunidad para todos los niños. Si nosotros no ofrecemos la oportunidad, ¿quién lo va a hacer? Hay alumnos en ciertas áreas del condado que no han podido ingresar al programa de la Escuela de Bellas Artes situada en el centro comercial de Miami. Hoy hemos abierto otra avenida en sociedad con la Universidad de Miami, la cual ofrece un programa de conservatorio de música para los alumnos en los grados 6 a 12. El sistema escolar tiene que reconocer la realidad que viven nuestros padres. Hoy en día esa realidad es que un padre tiene tres trabajos y está interesado en la educación de su hijo, pero no puede participar a plenitud porque tiene que primero asegurar que la familia pueda comer. En vez de esperar que los padres vengan a la escuela, nosotros tenemos que llevar la escuela a los hogares. Yo recuerdo cuando yo era director, yo llevaba a los maestros a las casas y las iglesias de la comunidad para reunirnos con los padres donde quiera que ellos estuvieran. Y eso es un cambio que tenemos que hacer. Tenemos la Academia de Padres y también yo presento conversaciones comunitarias en mi distrito para que los padres puedan entablar un diálogo con el sistema escolar sin tener que viajar hasta otra oficina central y también en un horario que les permite participar después de las horas laborales. Me encanta celebrar los logros de los alumnos. En esas reuniones yo otorgo premios a los alumnos sobresalientes y me encanta ver a los niños y sus padres presentes juntos para celebrar esos momentos con mucho orgullo. Yo asisto a eventos desde Hialeah hasta Florida City, a lo largo del condado. Yo celebro reuniones en todas las municipalidades, en restaurantes, en tiendas, donde quiera que me permitan hacerlo. Nosotros tenemos que hacernos accesibles a los padres y a los contribuyentes. Yo pienso que bajo la administración del superintendente Carvalho y la Junta Escolar estamos logrando eso.
Okay, arriving to the end of this part of the program, you mentioned the accessibility, the communication, and I know that you have Spanish people in your staff. We would like to conclude this part with your last message, and also how they can communicate with your office, the phone, or
beautiful.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I brought on a teacher, a Hispanic teacher, onto my staff, Miss Muncy. She was a teacher, and she is available at the staff. The phone number at our office is 305-995-1334. I also have another young lady, Ms. Falls. She was an administrator, Hispanic young lady, who again has a very close relationship with our Hispanic community and has an understanding of the needs that they might have. She can be reached at the same number. We also have a website, lfeldman@dadeschools.net. We also have a district site, which would be district9.dadeschools.net. So I'll repeat that one, district9@dadeschools.net. And they can see me on Facebook and ask questions. I know that anytime someone, in fact, asks me anything or sends me a message, I do this throughout the night up until 2, 3 in the morning. I return emails within 24 hours. And if they want to go on Facebook and be a friend, invite me and I'll be their friend and we can talk for all night or whatever.
Yo tengo trabajando conmigo a una educadora hispana, la señora Muncy, quien está disponible para ayudar con cualquier pregunta que tengan. Nos pueden llamar al 305-995-1334. También está la señorita Falls, quien es de procedencia hispana y es una administradora de profesión. Ella también está disponible para ayudar a las personas que llamen a mi oficina. Además, me pueden contactar por el correo electrónico a la dirección lfeldman, F-E-L-D-M-A-N, @dadeschools.net. El sitio cibernético de nuestra oficina es District 9, District y el número 9, .dadeschools.net. También estoy en Facebook. Yo estoy disponible las 24 horas del día.
Muchas gracias, doctor Loren Ferman, por acompañarnos esta tarde aquí en Educación y Comunidad. Su mensaje dirigido a nuestras familias y sobre todo enfatizando ese sentido de puertas abiertas de su oficina a manera de contacto con nuestras familias. Gracias, doctor Ferman, y a los miembros de su equipo que están aquí acompañándolos. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias.
Acaban de escuchar Educación y Comunidad, un espacio dedicado a comentar el panorama educacional y comunitario de hoy. Una tribuna capaz de orientar las inquietudes de nuestros amables oyentes bajo la dirección de Demetrio Pérez Jr.